radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Ball's drilled to right field, and that is going to be home run number 2 on the afternoon. Yordan has started the month of June with 2 home runs, and the Astros lead this game 5-0.
Here comes that man again. Air Yordan with his second home run of the ball game, second home run off of Joe Ryan in this game. The Astros continuing to barrel up what Joe Ryan is bringing.
I mean, Saturday, things were looking up. Yordan had 2 homers.
Yep.
You got a home run from Jose Abreu, of all people. I think you had a Kyle Tucker home run.
He did.
I mean, you got lots of bombs on Saturday. You had a no-hitter going into the 7th. And yesterday's Roku TV broadcast just killed all the vibes. To the point where I feel like we just repeat the same episode every single day, Joe, finding some way to talk around the idea of the Astros, as the Twitch is joking about, describing them as cooked, smoked, fried, something involving cooking.
I just had a random thought in my head of like maybe Jeff Blum for manager, you know, as we're looking for ulterior thoughts.
Sure.
For next year.
Well, it worked with Pat Riley.
What other words? Sunk. Their postseason odds.
Or submerged.
Chances? Submerged.
Because that means there's a chance they could still come back up. Sinking.
It's sinking. I think. Yeah. Yeah. Sinking. If you want to be a little more glass half full, sunk. Glass half empty.
I mean, assuming you don't sink to a certain depth, and pressure just crushes you into tiny little bits like that submarine.
How far away are we from that moment of the Astros season to where the submarine explodes?
We're pretty far.
Okay.
I think that's pretty close to mathematically eliminated. I mean, not mathematically,
or is it just when you're mathematically eliminated?
Yeah, a couple days before you're mathematically eliminated.
Okay.
It's like, all right, we know how this is going to end.
As a whole, the American League is a lot like that submarine. It's essentially piloted by a GameCube controller from 2003. That's what that submarine was powered by. Anyone who got into that thinking they weren't going to die, my God, what a dumbass you were. Sorry to those dead people, but I mean, you knew it was coming.
R.I.P., but what were you thinking?
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those.
They're all millionaires, too. Yeah, so like it's like...
This dude is going to, like, the next guy who's going to do it, what are you doing?
Maybe, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you die, that's on you.
Stick to what you know.
Land.
Piloting a submarine, no. Insider trading, yes. Stick to that.
Also, not to go on a full Titanic tangent, although
okay.
This is roughly Astros related. Who cares about the Titanic? Like, who cares about seeing that boat at the bottom of it? Like, what's the risk-reward of this?
Yeah, what are you going to find?
I just want to find the guy who hit the propeller and spun really fast.
So, where are we at in the Titanic movie with the Astros? Have they hit the iceberg yet? Or did they just see the iceberg?
Did this happen in that movie where one of the, I guess, lieutenants, I don't know, co-pilots, they see the iceberg and they're like calling over the head, head pilot? Ship captain?
But it's
ship
not captain. The head pilot who was on watch at the time, and the guy wakes up finding out that it had hit the iceberg. Now, maybe this guy should have been, I don't know, awake at the wheel, and perhaps Joe Espada comparisons can be made
to the
guy with the white beard.
So we've seen the iceberg. And we're trying to see how fast we can get the coal engine going to, you know, make it turn away.
Is Jack in the
Jack?
The little buggy with the
Rose.
The
character played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
I think he's in jail right now.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's Jose Abreu.
It's been a while since I've seen
him. So, again, like, we're making Titanic comparisons to the Houston Astros and just talking about where they're at. Hit the positive vibes button. We need to get out of this.
Bad vibes alert, man.
Bad vibes alert, man.
You know what? There's only one way to literally get it up after just that. Because, yeah, every single time I talk about the Astros, I get depressed. Let's hit everybody. Let's hit people with a deep steel blue pill.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans Swarm! By the way, we found out, in case you didn't know already, what swarm means during Nick Caserio's appearance on the Jim Rome show last week.
Oh.
Special work ethic and relentless mindset.
Ooh.
So well, one of those words, work ethic is two words, and I think it's cheating a little bit, but special work ethic and relentless mindset.
It's worth it? Yeah.
That's two words. Not one word.
I thought it was just a mentality.
Was that is there a hyphen? Work ethic?
Nope. Nope, it's two words.
That's tough. If there's a hyphen, you're cheating, but I'll let it slide. They need to get Gary Busey involved. He'll come up with something.
He'll trim the fat.
Yeah.
So, things we learned last week, if you didn't know already, Nick Caserio is a massive fan of the Jim Rome show.
Yeah.
Apparently, he and Josh McDaniels used to listen to the Jim Rome show together during their early days with the New England Patriots. So, Nick Caserio was in the jungle. Ha ha, clowns.
Dude, no wonder he loves going on with Pendergast so much. Like, that makes so much more sense now why he doesn't sound like a robot when he does
the interviews. He actually sounds like he's having fun.
Yeah, because he's probably a Sean Pendergast fanboy.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I love Sean.
Normally, when Caserio is speaking to the media, he's going to give you, for every single answer, about a 500-word odyssey where he says absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was in the jungle, he talked about all sorts of things, including Nico Collins' new contract.
I mean, Nico has been a good player for us here for a number of years. I would say when you kind of look at the arc of his career, where he started, going back to when we drafted him in 21, he didn't play football in 20, so because of COVID and everything else associated with it, and was a participant in the Senior Bowl and had some traits and attributes that we like. So we were kind of drafting probably a little bit potential at that point, but he was productive with his opportunities in Michigan, and then he produces a little bit as a rookie, kind of ran in some bumps in the road. I think the big thing last season was just his confidence and belief in himself, his ability to kind of stay on the field. The offensive staff did a great job with him, was able to develop a rapport and relationship with CJ. Nico's a great kid, salt of the earth, everything that we want our program and players to be about. So to be able to reward him with an extension that he's earned, nobody's granted anything just because. So he's earned the opportunity.
Still a long answer.
Wow, long answer.
But
he loves Nico.
And along the way, about as much of a flex as you're ever going to get from Nick Caserio.
Uh-huh.
But talking about how since the COVID year happened and how he didn't play his last year, how it was a bit of a project pick. I mean, it was a project pick. Pat yourself on the back.
A little bit of a pat on the back.
He deserves to pat himself on the back.
No, he deserves it. He deserves it. But that I will call it as it is. That's a pat on the back.
Definitely a paddle.
That's what Nick Caserio does best, is identifying wide receivers.
Yes. Dell and I had a conversation about this clip on Friday. How do you feel about him calling Nico Collins salt of the earth? It just seems like a weird compliment for a 26-year-old.
I mean,
I feel like salt of the earth, you're 40 plus.
Old school mentality.
Yeah.
Likes to
I get that.
Run people over. He's physical as a wide receiver on a position that has gotten less and less physical by the year.
But I think you're physical then. You're not a salt of the earth kind of guy. Salt of the earth, I just think of an older gentleman.
That's because...
I don't think, Paul, no offense, I don't think you're salt of the earth.
It's a mindset. It's a mentality.
I'm offended by you saying that I'm not
salt
of the earth.
I think you're hard-nosed. I think you, again, you're a grinder. I don't know, salt of the earth. Salt of the earth. That's, a football coach is salt of the earth.
Well, not always.
Not always, but that's who it applies to.
You're confusing salt of the earth with salt and pepper.
No, I'm not.
Salt and pepper, older. Salt of the earth means like just a...
salt and pepper.
Just a normal, relatable guy.
No, I just don't... But I feel like it's an older...
Took me a second to hear that. Go F yourself, Joe.
So you want to be salt of the earth.
On the Jungle, Nick Caserio with Jim Rohn talked about CJ Stroud.
CJ is very prideful. He cares a lot about winning. He's very competitive. Even when we go out on the field in the spring, we have a third down compete period. Like, he wants to win. And when you have that mindset, it kind of trickles down to the rest of the team. He believes in himself. He has a lot of self-belief. So I think those are some of the qualities. Forget about the physical attributes and skills. Like, obviously, that is a part of it. But the way you're wired, the way you think, and your just constant willingness to improve and get better, those are what makes you go from good to great. And then you want to see if you can maintain that longevity over the course of your career, understanding you're going to deal with some ups and downs. So how you handle the adversity, how you kind of handle the tough situations, that is going to really tell you a lot about that individual and that player. So we're going to probably see some things this year that we didn't see last year. We're certainly, you know, we're going to face significant competition on a week-to-week basis, but that's this league. So you have to be prepared for that and just kind of take it 1 week at a time. But, you know, CJ's a great person. He's a great kid, cares a lot about winning, has great relationships with really everybody on the team. Players, staff, operationally, PR, and he's himself. And I think what we try to stress to everybody, just be who you are. Like, don't try to be somebody that you're not, because I think players are smart enough, they see through that. So we're excited about this upcoming season and excited about CJ's growth and just continue to press forward.
Oh, my God. He just can't help himself. He can't land the plane even.
Just talks and talks. Because I do wonder if he doesn't know where the plane's going sometimes.
He's got a lot of gas.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I mean, look, early in that quote, something I wanted to react to, because much like Nick Caserio saw that
early in the quote. So if you still remember what was said 45 seconds ago.
Much like with Nico Collins, Nick Caserio saw some potential in him to draft him in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first person to see C.J. Stroud's winning mindset with the Texans 0-2 last year? It's me patting myself on the back.
That's a salt of the earth kind of move. Right,
salt of the earth kind of move. Though, King of all Twitches says I'm the sweet and low of the earth. What does that mean?
I don't know either.
That's like the fake sweetener, right? Or is that the real sweetener?
Yeah, that's the fake sweetener.
Yeah.
Just calling you fake.
Damn,
that's harsh.
That hurt my feelings, King of all Twitches.
Calling you a sweet boy. That's what he's calling.
Well, that would mean I'm gay.
That'd be a first.
Cocaine of the earth? Like, is that? That's a similar white powder.
Are we just naming white powders now?
What?
The drywall of the earth? The popcorn ceiling of the earth?
Joe, executive decision up to you. Do we want to hear Nick Caserio talk about Stephon Diggs, or do we think it's going to take 3 minutes?
I kind of want to save it for tomorrow when it takes 3 minutes.
Let's save it for tomorrow. That's your Deep Steel Blue Pill of the Day. Joe George, Sean Mapes by the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I don't think anyone wants us to dive back into the Houston Astros. So, in a way, let's piggyback off of this Deep Steel Blue Pill while we're still, you know, up. And react to something that C.J. Stroud had to say that's going to have Joe George, I bet, thinking that C.J. Stroud loves him some C.J. Stroud. Again, stick around.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
CJ Stroud was on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast. It is a podcast that gets the biggest names out there.
Oh, yeah.
Sports world, entertainment world, that they got CJ Stroud and Tank Dell, I think goes to show you just how big of a deal Stroud is, and maybe Tank Dell is as well.
Mm-hmm.
On that podcast, a conversation was had about the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. and C.J. Stroud was asked where he would rank himself. Here's what happens.
Oh, no, I'm tripping. Let me go.
Are you tripping?
So, look, final five. I know what I'm doing, dog. Mahomes, Lamar, myself, Dak.
Joey B.
No, he didn't really play last year. And then Hurts.
Dak, that boy.
Y'all not going to say that because he ain't won the big one.
You said Matthew, but he was the top five.
Bro, you going to put Dak Prescott in there over Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I got
it. I said it off of last year, dog. He ain't play all year. He got hurt.
Well, we could find somebody.
Burrow, one of my favorite players. I'm out of my game after Burrow a little bit. Like,
why you Burrow got f***ing with that?
Cowboys.
Oh, even the Cowboys, they don't like each other like that? I ain't know all that.
What?
I ain't see. I don't be knowing all that.
Dak tough, bro. Dak is one of the most accurate quarterbacks.
Y'all got to see them this year, don't
you? Yeah, we playing.
Oh, my God, the battle of Texas.
A lot of conversations happening. Joe George.
Underrated. I love that Tank Dell was like, oh, yeah, Cowboys and Eagles have a rivalry? News to me.
Shows you how little NFL players know.
Joe, last week we played another bit of audio from C.J. Stroud, and you said that C.J. Stroud loves him some C.J. Stroud.
He does. C.J. loves C.J.
He ranked himself third among all quarterbacks in the NFL.
Now, I have no issue with doing this. Like saying you are in that like top group of quarterbacks, saying you're third. Honestly, most time I think C.J. Stroud has bad takes sometimes. This is another example. I know Dak is accurate. He don't win nothing. He's not the fourth best quarterback in the
fourth
NFL.
Was too high for Dak.
Fourth is too high. I don't have a problem with C.J. saying he's the third best quarterback in the NFL. Honestly, like, I'm glad he didn't say he was first. Actually, I think that's a good thing that he recognizes that he wasn't the best.
Mahomes 1, Lamar Jackson 2, he 3, Dak Prescott 4, and then Jalen Hurts 5. Well, if you're going off of last year, and I get it, Joe Burrow didn't play much of last year. I would still put Burrow in my top 5. If you're going off of last year, you can't have Jalen Hurts up there. You just can't. Hurts was not good last season.
No.
I like Jalen Hurts a lot, but he played poorly last year. A lot of turnovers, wasn't as effective running the football. So that's one that you can't put up in that top 5. Dak, last year, statistically, was top 5. He was. I don't know that I trust him in the playoffs still, yeah. And that sort of goes back to why with Lamar Jackson as well. There's going to be some people that would push back on that because both of those guys are known for playoff failures.
Yeah, I mean Dak had 36 touchdowns last year, 9 interceptions. He was third in the NFL in his rating, his adjusted QBR. He was number 2. Like his completion percentage, he's at the top of the league. Passing yards, he's at the top of the league. It is probably off last year. Dak is a top 5 quarterback.
No, Josh Allen in the top 5 is also interesting to me, and I get it. But it does feel like there's a lot of maybe not to the same degree as Caitlin Clark hate, but I know online I will see lots of vitriol from black analysts directed towards Josh Allen more than towards any of the top quarterbacks in the game. You can make a variety of different reasons as to why that is. All I am telling you is that is a fact. You will see a lot of criticism of Allen online. I get it partly because I think he's sometimes a little bit too careless with the football. And it did take a while for the Bills offense to get going last year. In fact, they started running the football. And guess what? Josh Allen was a little bit more effective.
And I think that's
why
people are critical of him, is that once they stopped throwing the ball as much as they were, they started letting James Cook, you know, really be the key of that offense. That's when Josh started playing better. But, and also with Josh Allen, I think it goes back to the beginning of his career before Stephon Diggs. It was so bad.
It was bad.
They can't get that. And then now when they start running the ball more, it looks better again. They look at that stuff as more than that brutal loss to the Chiefs in the playoffs, the great Sunday night games that he's had, stuff like
there's,
that.
There's part of it, too, where his issue is, like, some of the absolute, like, berserk YOLO plays that he makes, where those, like, just stand out and are so, like, obvious to if you're watching a game, you're just like, what the hell was he doing there? Where someone like Joe Burrow, like, he's about as good as Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow just doesn't have the WTF kind of moments.
Yeah. And it's a run game, too. Like, because Lamar gets dinged for this stuff, too. Whenever you have a quarterback and Hurts, whenever you have quarterbacks that their best asset is not their arm, it's their legs, those quarterbacks are always criticized pretty heavily. And even when it's not fair. I mean, like, it's just, it's a tough spot for Josh Allen. He's not in the top five right now for me. Whether it's last season or going into this season, Josh Allen would be outside my top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
To bring it back to C.J. Stroud, who ranked himself third there, to you, is C.J. Stroud top five?
Yes. I'm going to try to take playoff stuff out of this because it does complicate it. I would have C.J. going into the season as the fourth best quarterback in the NFL. So it's going to be Mahomes. It's going to be Burrow. It's going to be Lamar because he's won two MVPs. Like, I'm going to try to take the playoff stuff out of this. In the regular season, he's nasty. And then I would put CJ as four right now. And then probably Herbert five.
Oh.
I'm still a Herbert believer.
I might be
last man standing on that hill.
I'll go Mahomes, obviously, free space, Mahomes. Burrow, Allen. I'll go Lamar, Stroud.
You have to put Lamar ahead of Stroud.
Lamar has more MVPs than Stroud has years in the NFL. There has to be some like track record nod, and really we're debating fourth or fifth best quarterback in the league. So,
and head-to-head, Lamar's got him. He's 2-0.
I forget the order that I put them in last time, so if someone's keeping tabs, just keep in mind that I forget a lot
of things.
This
is the updated list. You've crunched the numbers, watched some tape. Now here's your new list.
Mm-hmm. This is my new list after having heard that. One, Patrick Mahomes.
Duh.
Two, sorry, Joe Burrow. Yep. Big Joe Burrow guy. Three, I've always liked Lamar Jackson. The playoff thing sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to figure itself out. But he's a good thrower of the football. He doesn't get enough credit for it. I think you got to put Josh Allen ahead of C.J. Stroud. I would say that I think that Stroud's going to jump in front of those two by season's end in the consensus eyes of many. But right now, I think that he's got to still overcome those two. Great rookie season. I'm feeling great about him going forward, clearly. I feel like there's a lot of Brady-esque qualities that he has in him, except for he is more athletically gifted than them.
Do you want to do King asked here about Goff. Goff is tough because he's got the Josh Allen stuff.
Goff,
where Sean McVay is telling him to play until there's 15 seconds left.
Wait, the Josh Allen stuff? What do you mean?
We're like the stink
of early years.
Yeah, Jared Goff has old stink on him. He is, Sean McVay is telling him to play until there's 10 seconds left or whatever in the clock. He's quarterbacking the ugliest Super Bowl we've all watched in the last two decades. But Jared Goff, like what he did last year. If he does it again, he really changes the narrative, in my opinion, about his career. But I can't look past like the end of his Rams tenure and what it first was in Detroit. Like that's why Goff's not in my top five. There's an argument, I think, for real.
I don't think he's as physically gifted. No, I think all the guys smart. That we listed there, like of all those guys, Joe Burrow's the only one where you look at and you realize he doesn't have the strongest arm. But all of those guys that were ahead of C.J. Stroud, and that list that I put together at least, are physical freaks. And to what you said with Justin Herbert, Herbert's got a cannon. The thing with Herbert is the consistency is not there. A lot of people are on the same page as you, Joe. There's still a lot of people that have Justin Herbert real estate.
Yeah, and not just with Goff, like not just the arm strength stuff, but I mean, for all of our top fives, the worst runner was either Burrow or Stroud.
Yeah.
Those are the two worst runners. Everyone else is a way better runner, someone who can give you something. Not just, I mean, because they're not running. Lamar's running sweeps. Josh Allen's running, like, actual sweeps. That's not what Mahomes is doing. But Mahomes can still scramble for 50, on third and 15. He can pick up a first down with his legs. And that's something that Jared Goff, like, just cannot do unless he's being left wide-ass open. But there,
and let's be honest with ourselves here, too. Okay, like, Goff, look, Goff's done well. But, I mean, would you take Jared Goff over C.J. Stroud?
No.
Would you take Jared Goff over Matt Stafford, for God's sakes?
Nope.
Yeah. I mean, the Rams literally made that choice.
Right.
they made that choice. Yeah. They did that and then won the Super Bowl.
And I give Goff credit. Like, he has turned his career around. Like, they literally, they gave away first-round picks to get rid of Jared Goff. Like they made a decision to bail on a guy, and they were right. They won a Super Bowl with Matt Stafford. Now, does Jared Goff have a better chance to win a Super Bowl this year than C.J. Stroud? Absolutely. I will say yes. Because he has an easier path to the Super Bowl than CJ does going through the NFC. Goff just...
Goff has the best offensive line in the league.
You can tell, like, if you want to look at
in
stats...
In a St. Brown.
Yeah. The stats will tell you that he is a better quarterback than CJ Stroud. Yes. That is a fact. There is no argument. That is the argument that Twitch is having with us right now.
Yeah.
But the stats will tell you that Goff is a better quarterback. My eyeballs tell me, and all of you who have watched the NFL will tell you CJ Stroud's a better quarterback.
Right, right. This is like, I love it when the baseball people bring the box score stuff in here. It's like, yeah. Okay, you're going to baseball explain me, I'll football explain you.
At a certain point, too, with quarterbacks, if a team and a offense, especially an offensive coach, an offensive head coach who's well regarded, absolutely quits on you and is like, this guy stinks. I'm sorry, you're not a top five quarterback. If there's a coach out there that's like, yuck.
Yeah,
get this guy off. I have him on my team. Get him off my team.
That's tough.
That's a tough one to overcome and be top five.
He basically did to Jared Goff what Tony Romo allegedly did to Jessica Simpson outside of Arby's. He just left him on the side of the road.
I don't think I know that story.
Yeah, I definitely didn't know it was an
Tony
Arby's.
Romo just left her there?
Supposedly. That's the rumor.
Oh, okay.
The Dallas Cowboy quarterback dating rumors, baby.
Yeah, and this is like 2007 era rumors, too. So it's like no sources needed. None. I just needed one person at my school to say it, and I'm running with it.
I just think it's weird that, like, of all the quarterbacks that the Twitch is going to bring up, they're going to bring up the guy who's like the 13th best in terms of overall.
No, they're just
bringing
up the good fact because, like, they're not Texans fans. Really?
Well, no.
And they want to just dump.
But if you're gonna do the box score stuff, like you would do it with Dak or Herbert or like there's other guys with
or
awesome
Tua.
Numbers. Tua has awesome numbers.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, Kyler Murray. There's a lot of guys that I would put maybe not ahead of Goff, but there's a lot of questions that we like. I would want to have the debate about Kyler Murray or Jared Goff because I'm not 100% sure.
Answer. You know, for bringing up total wins, okay. So, like the Lions, yeah, they advanced the NFC Championship game.
Party.
What was the lead that the Lions had in that 20 NFC something. Championship game? Yeah. Oh, was it 24-7, and then they couldn't score the rest of the game? Oh, yeah. Huh. Okay. Look,
fifth best quarterback in the league.
If you're one of these quarterbacks going forward, it's obvious if you're watching with eyes, which are the two things that allow you to see anything. Like you're taking Stroud. I don't get it. Like, hey, let's bring up like the 15th best quarterback in the NFL. I'm just going to continue to move him down the list. Let's bring up like the 15th best quarterback in terms of overall skill and say like, hey, yeah,
Jared
this
Goff.
Guy's better than CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan Love is a better one to bring up too.
Jordan Love it actually
Jordan
would be
Love
the better
just
one.
Had the same
Jordan
numbers
Love is
as
the
CJ
argument.
Stroud.
Yeah. Jordan, I feel like
which King made before, but now he's bringing it down to Jared Goff. Again, the
it's
Twitch
just to argue to argue.
Just dumbs down the conversation all the time when you bring it in football. Good God. It is Gallant and George, Joe George, Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Stick around.
Before we do that, I want to talk about our friends at LaBerge. UFC 302 was this weekend. It was a good time. I was at a local establishment watching it. Well, guess what? Sean, myself, I think Brian as well, will be watching UFC 303. Conor McGregor, June 29th, we'll be at LaBerge, Lake Charles, watching the fight. They have all the TVs on the inside, but they'll have the patio going. Should still be crawfish season, I believe. So we'll have that going on the patio as well. So we'll have the big TV outside, and we'll be watching the UFC 303 outside at LaBerge. You should come out and join us. 19 betting kiosks on the inside. You can use the ESPN Bet app as well while you're there in Louisiana. It's a great place to go and bet. Lots of great restaurants throughout the casino and throughout the whole property. The pool outside is beautiful. It's an awesome place to go. So when you want to leave Texas and go and bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it at LaBerge Lake Charles.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
713-780-3776 to call, to text in as well. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. On Twitter, at Gallant says, at Joe George Radio, some texts. I've never heard a first-year quarterback so arrogant. There will be people that take issue with him. Did he get a king tattoo yet, a la LeBron James? This texter continues, you better hope CJ doesn't turn out like Chukwuemeka Okafor.
Yeah, look. if CJ Stroud has a bad year, there's going to be a lot of people who try to dump on us. Who cares? Everyone in this city that's doing this job and has opinions. Some people are going to be right. Some people are going to be wrong. Some listeners are going to be right. Some listeners are going to be wrong. My opinion and your opinion, clearly, is CJ Stroud's a top five quarterback in the NFL. There's nothing wrong with that. We're not doing it to bandwagon. I love this show. I love our Twitchers. They make me laugh so hard because they're trying to accuse us of bandwagons, but then when I bring up the Bears, like, Joe's a stupid Bears fan. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Why would I be – why am I pandering?
I mean, it is a good point, though.
Like, I'm a Bears fan.
You've never seen
good – I'm a Bears fan.
That is a knock against – stop saying that, please.
Like, I'm a Bears fan.
Okay.
I'm going to be rooting for the Bears.
You're a BF
Houston. That's
what you are.
Like, I'm not biased towards the Texans.
Season tickets. You should have them revoked.
I do wonder how that's going to go over. Probably not well.
Another text. Can y'all please shut up about CJ Stroud before he has the worst season ever? Because this show is the biggest jinx ever.
Why?
Only two active starting quarterbacks have a Super Bowl ring, Mahomes and Stafford.
I mean, I was saying this stuff about CJ Stroud when I was not on this show, and he continued to be well, and so was Paul. So I don't think we're a jinx.
Yeah, Paul asked him about his winning mentality when they're 0-2. Now, okay. Like, Paul has been...
Now, could they be referring to the LaBerge wagers that Sean, Brian, and I made?
Still
as
live.
Jinx?
Still live on that one.
We're still alive.
They just need to win.
Just in
60,
case I'm a jinx, I'm not going to bet on the Texans over this year. Just in case. I'm a jinx. I'm going to pass. Certain games, maybe. The over on the season, probably not.
I do not trust your judgment here, sir.
Why?
I just don't.
He grew up watching Kyle Orton and Rex Grossman and many other travesties upon football. I'm sure I trust him on this one.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud's a top five quarterback in the NFL.
I feel like if just going forward you're looking at it, like you would be looking at him as saying, okay, well, how much better is he going to be year two than he was in year one? And some of the people that are making this very strange to me, Jared Goff argument, are arguing, well, he's been in the league for a while. But okay, but like if we're going to have that conversation about who you take, Matt Stafford is the one that I would do that for.
Yeah.
The guy who's like somehow still playing well despite having like eight back surgeries. But with Goff, and part of it does have to do with earlier in his career, but even if he's 29 years old, do you really think that Jared Goff is going to get that much better? I'm not saying that he is a game manager, but I am saying he is in a situation that until last year, no one was really aware of how good it was. Fantastic offensive line. They found a tight end in the middle of the draft who might be the next great tight end in the league. They have Amon Ross St. Brown. They have a running back in Jahmyr Gibbs who is Alvin Kamara-esque. They have a lot going for them there. It's not to say that Jared Goff has not been a part of it. He has progressed, I think, great since going to Detroit and since Sean McVay gave up on him. Honestly, kind of an indictment on Sean McVay, the way that he gave up on him. But that's me, and I'm not really the biggest McVay fan. I feel like he has his tires inflated a little bit too much. But I feel like if you are being asked to pick between C.J. Stroud and Jared Goff for this season, I would be shocked by anyone who would take Goff over Stroud.
And this is where I think the lack of experience argument with CJ is usually terribly flawed. Like you don't see a quarterback excel to this level and then have a drop off that doesn't have a big reason behind it. Like we've talked about this a little bit before in the past, and I think I remember a texter saying RG3 was an example. Well, look, we watched his knee bend in ways it shouldn't because of the field in Washington. Like RG3 also, like, egotistically, is a huge part of his downfall. He went into the offseason next year with Gruden and Shanahan and said he didn't want to do any of the RPO stuff that they were doing that was working, and it fell apart. But, like, Luck was great. Mahomes has been great. Quarterbacks that typically have this level of success in their first year, it continues. That's why, to me, it's fair to put Jordan Love in this conversation. When you see Jalen Hurts excel in his first year, what happens? He excels again. Like, you typically don't start at this peak and then fall off a cliff. Usually you're just bad. Like, Justin Fields, always bad. Deshaun Watson, pretty good until everything happened. Like, he had all the off-field stuff, and it fell apart.
That to me, falls into the, it's a different
– yeah.
It's different than the RG3 Andrew Luck stuff, but it is similar where he just didn't play football for a year and a half.
Like you have Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott took the job from Tony Romo and never gave it back. And if you were not a believer in that first year in Dak Prescott, well, you were the one that was wrong because he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Same with Jalen Hurts when he got the job from Wentz. You just don't have this much of success in football and see guys fail dramatically after that. Will he have a worse year this year? It's very possible.
He might. Look, the schedule's tougher, but, I mean, I don't know how you watched last year with how good he was at making the right throw and not throwing turnovers, not turning the football over. Like, Trevor Lawrence can't even hold onto a football without fumbling it.
Mm-hmm.
Or
he was also awful his rookie year.
I mean,
Jared. But hey, wait on. Hang on a second. I mean, he had Urban Meyer as his head coach.
Like, that guy gets excuses made for him all the time, and he's in a market that no one cares about, so no one jumps on Trevor Lawrence, who routinely overthrows passes by 10 yards over the middle of the field. Because
mm-hmm.
he weirdly, like, even though he's got all the talent, like, he'll just completely whiff on passes from time to time. Where with Stroud last year, he didn't turn the football over, and he didn't get sacked. And I mean, that's his rookie season. Like, that's the year where that's always supposed to happen.
You know, there are just times when people are good at sports and, like, it's okay. It's okay to say that Adley Rutschman is the best catcher in baseball. Like
he is.
Like, it's okay.
That's the name.
Not Yiner Diaz.
Now, Todd.
He's no Yiner Diaz. Come on.
Yiner was awesome.
Yeah. Maldonado like, better than him, too.
Todd is like he's trying to use Yiner as a comp for CJ.
Baseball
is
so different.
How everyone gassed up Yiner Diaz last year as the savior. And to his point, like, Yiner Diaz has been awful this year. It's not the same. Like,
yeah.
It's just not. Like, LeBron was awesome right away. When you are this elite at the start of your career, you don't see people, unless they mess up their life, fall off typically. Look, that's why there's no reason to believe CJ will fall apart.
He was supposed to have the worst group of weapons going into the year. And yeah, Nico Collins better than probably everyone expected. Tank Dell, steal. But I mean, look at what he made happen with what was considered 32nd of 32 teams in terms of weapons going into the year. Look at the way that he throws the football. Tell me you've seen a prettier ball.
They
on a routine
really
basis, this guy throws a perfect spiral, puts it in the exact right places with the exact right amount of touch, stands in the pocket, old school style, doesn't get pushed off of his position in the pocket like so many other quarterbacks do. Bryce Young, who a lot of people wanted, Bryce Young can't stand in there. Anthony Richardson, to his credit, does stand in there a bit, but a little bit inaccurate when he was. Again, he was only like 3-game sample size last year. Stroud has a lot of old school quarterback traits that have been kind of lost in today's game, in that a lot of these quarterbacks now are mobile and they're going to use their feet to extend plays, get outside the pocket, and make crazy stuff happen off script. CJ Stroud is one of the old school guys who stands in there, takes a pounding, still puts pretty balls up, avoids sacks, avoids interceptions, and to me, it should jump off the screen to you. If it doesn't, I don't know what to tell you. Pay attention this year.
He can go off script with the best of them. Like, he can do everything. I got bad news. Per Alden Gonzalez and Jeff Passan, Astro starter Jose Urquidy recently pulled off his rehab start.
Oh, no.
We'll soon see, because apparently it's been weeks. Yeah. Still can't see his second opinion.
Chilling.
We'll soon see Dr. Keith Meister in Dallas and could be headed for a second Tommy John surgery. Sources tell Alden Gonzalez and Jeff Passan.
Oh, that sucks.
So that's one.
Christian Javier is the other one.
We wait for Javier news.
Oh, what a rough day for our beloved Houston Astros. Hopefully, they get things back on track tonight against the Cardinals of St. Louis with Justin Verlander on the hill. He is Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Coming up next, we wrap things up with a little garbage time. Perhaps I should be pursuing this person as I continue to run out of options. Don't go anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Last chance to dance, Gallant and George. I've been told by my mother, me, a single 35-year-old man, that I'm running out of options.
Okay.
And I might have found the one.
Really?
in the world of sports. In the world of sports, this woman, she's gone viral. You know why?
Oh, okay.
Because she's ripping darts and golfing. I am talking about Charlie Hull, a woman's golfer who has become a big deal legitimately for just the past two weekends.
Yep.
Entirely because while signing autographs, she was just ripping a stick.
Yep, just ripping darts. Just right there.
Got any butts, kid? Here's Charlie Hull talking about something that has happened to her since she became notorious and perhaps the face of women's golf for bringing back the 1980s.
Yeah, it's actually quite funny. I don't know, all over a cigarette, I suppose. But I generally, like, was walking to the range, had my hands full. Someone asked me for an autograph, and I'm not going to say no, because I always like signing autographs to them. Just had my cigarette in my mouth, signed it, and then it's gone viral. But I don't know, it's just one of them things. But then it's been crazy, like, the fans have been shouting my name this week. Someone said I've dropped something and handed their phone number in my hand, on a piece of paper in my hand, and I thought it was so funny. I was like, here's my number, text me so we can figure out where I'm taking out for dinner tonight. I never text them, obviously, but it was just so funny. But yeah, no, it's been a bit of a wild week, like, pretty cool, and I wish the crowds were like this more often.
Smooth operator, somebody saw her and passed her his phone number.
Yeah. Hey, you dropped something there.
I think the problem is that, unfortunately, when you're in the midst of a bunch of people getting autographs signed, there's zero chance of this person remembering which of the people you are if you're just walking through it. Especially if the person's saying, oh, you dropped something and it's just on the ground.
Yeah.
Then you'd have to find that person in the crowd.
You should be very good looking. And it's like you really stand out. Now, look, they're not the biggest crowds.
Yeah, it's not crazy that it could be a situation where she's, like, walking from, like, a practice round back somewhere, and there's just a fan with that in their hand, be like, hey, but miss, you dropped this.
It kind of looks like it's about 10 people around her when she's signing autographs. So, like, if you have an opportunity, this might be it.
I think it was a smooth your shot.
Yeah, it was a fair play.
It wasn't annoying. It wasn't weird. Last night, I was having a conversation with somebody who I believe is actually listening right now.
So
she has a friend. And as we were having this conversation, a man wearing a cowboy hat walked in between both of us.
Nice.
Tapped us both on the shoulders and said, excuse me, who is this wonderful woman right here? With an accent. And me and this girl tried not to laugh as we proceeded to hear him ask her what her email is.
Her email?
I don't know why he asked for her email.
Is he a time traveler?
I don't know.
Even then, like, what
did he come from 1883 into 2003 to 2024?
It was pretty funny. Perhaps, guys, I'm a lot like Lenny Kravitz. Lenny Kravitz has not been in a serious relationship for 9 years and has been celibate for 9 years.
Wow.
He says it's a spiritual thing. So I would like to announce that I have been celibate as a spiritual thing.
For 9 years?
Not for 9 years.
Oh, okay.
Not for 9 years.
I was like, well, I was just trying to figure out, like, how similar.
Doing it like 9 rich and famous years, too. That's
you believe that?
I think I do.
I don't.
What reason does he have to lie?
Like, remember in Entourage when what was the teenage pop star?
Oh yeah,
and she's a virgin in the show.
Later
and
on, she wasn't.
Yeah, she never was. Come on,
hey.
It was a way to pump up album sales.
Hey,
but maybe she pumping up Lenny Kravitz album sales.
I don't know. Like, got us talking about him.
What, 60-year-old man hasn't had sex since he was 51?
You never know.
Maybe the incels want that.
I
don't know.
Maybe it works.
Breaking news. There's a new all-time highest-selling Michael Jordan card.
Oh, interesting.
What would you guys guess it went for?
A $1 million.
I was just like 1.5.
$2.928 million.
Why?
I agree. Why? Why? Why do people do this?
I don't understand.
It's a very strange collectible.
Yeah. If you have $3 million to blow on this,
you gotta be real rich.
Well, also, like, you have $3 million to blow on something cooler than,
than a basketball card
who, other than apparently the people at these auctions, no one can tell the difference.
See, and then, like, the goal, like, if you're going to go into the resale market, you can make some money, right? But you're not, like, your profits are not that big.
I doubt
like,
there would be any.
If you're but, setting
like,
the record.
If you're buying it for three, like, when are you, like, what are you trying to sell this for?
Are you just waiting until Michael Jordan dies and then you could
I think so.
Flip
like,
it
like
for
when
seven?
When he dies, it goes for $4 million and you make $1 million?
But that's even 2024 dollars versus whenever he dies dollars. So you're probably actually not making that.
Yeah, so I just, I don't understand. I don't get it.
No, all the collectible stuff. Some of it, I'm sure, have fun. But at the high end, what are you doing?
I don't understand it.
Buy cooler stuff. That's what I'm saying. Just buy cooler stuff.
Todd, the show says it's just money laundering.
That's probably like what it is. That's probably the easy answer. Like the art world, that's what it is.
But wouldn't you rather launder your money in art than in a effing baseball card?
Or I even get wearing like the game worn jerseys. I get that more.
Yeah.
If it's gonna be something that you're like. At your rich person parties, like, hey, look at that.
Exactly.
Dude, like, I get, like, the shoe. Like, I get the shoe game. But, like, a baseball card is, or a basketball card is so small that, like, most of the time people, like, most people don't hang them. They're just sitting there.
It's why I never understood NFTs, too. It's like, oh, wait, do you have a big screen TV that shows it at all times? I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
Remember when the basketball, when people were buying highlights?
The Top Shot?
Yeah, that, what a waste of money, people.
Oh, the best was the people, though, that were just insisted that this was going to work out.
Yeah, it worked great, guys.
They got so mad.
Congratulations.
Like, wait, why?
That and, like, Doge.
But the blockchain. And
people say we're stupid. Mm-hmm. You're the stupid ones.
Well, I mean, we are pretty dumb. But
I'm not a Dogecoiner, so I feel okay.
But at least we're lovable. And that, my friends, is going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Big thanks to Joe George.
Hey, thank you, Paul.
And big thanks to the pettiness of women for allowing us to talk about something other than the Houston Astros. We're talking about WNBA. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.